there was a time when they allowed me to operate this big one here on the end, but I clearly had no talent for that, and they quietly asked me to sit down. Let's spend time this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Go ahead and find that in your Bible or in your device today. For the sake of our discussion this morning, I want to begin by acknowledging that some of us are in more difficult situations than others. Maybe we're suffering from health issues. And it may be something as simple as flu or virus, but very often it's something much more serious, much more trying. It may be that we're suffering from financial difficulties. You know, few things are more gripping than the dark shadow of financial struggles. It grips us. We become depressed over it. Some have lost loved ones. If so, your whole world has changed. Pain and loneliness follow you everywhere you go. It seems we've had a great deal of loss in our church over the last several weeks. Sometimes single adults are okay with their life situation, sometimes not. And that may describe you here this morning. I'm told that it's a difficulty that most of the rest of us cannot understand and can't relate to, and I'm sure that is true. I readily confess that. Others of you live with an abusive spouse or a spouse that doesn't belong to the Lord and is not supportive of, and perhaps sometimes even hostile toward your commitment to Christ Jesus. And of course, that's a difficulty. And then there's an endless array of other problems that cause our situations and our circumstances in life to be very, very difficult. So I want to talk this morning about that. Well, in fact, I want to talk about the opposite of that. I'm going to spend time this morning talking about joy in the midst of all of those. I want to talk about the joy of the Lord that rises us above those situations. Regardless of your situation, God will give you true joy. Now, we want to hear what the Bible has to say about this, and the Bible speaks to it in a number of different places, but I want to turn this morning to Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. I rejoice. Now, there's the word. He builds everything else upon this concept. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you've renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this, in other words, I don't say that I'm joyful or rejoiced. I don't say this out of need or I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret, we'll come back to that, of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. Whether in abundance or in need, I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, the interesting thing about those words is that Paul has earned the right to make those statements. He's earned the right to make those statements. He's not sitting in some designer office, you know, surrounded by mahogany furniture and scholarly books and floral arrangements, hypothesizing about what it must be like to suffer. That's not who he is. That's not the situation in which this is couched. In fact, he's chained by the ankle to a stone wall in a skank prison cell where he hasn't bathed or washed his clothes for months. Nobody cares about his comfort or his health. He has no wife. He has no children to check on him or to argue or to work for his release. This man is in a difficult, difficult situation. He can relate to the worst of where we are because of where he is. And yet he speaks these words to us. He's earned the right to say these words. So let's think this morning about what he has to say to us about being joyful in the midst of all those things. Let's begin with a word about circumstances. More specifically, a word about difficult circumstances. Everybody has difficulties in life. I like the way Yvonne Woods put it. She said, "The only guy whose troubles are all behind him is a school bus driver." Everyone else is living right in the middle of the difficulties of life. Now, let me point out, we're not talking about an unpleasant event. An event is a moment in time. An event comes, occurs, passes quickly, and then it's over. We're not talking about an event. One couple had been visiting with their daughter and her family. The daughter had experienced terrible headaches during their visit. The overbearing father offered some of his wonder headache medicine and insisted that she take it for relief of her headache. A month later, he was talking with his daughter on the phone and asked how his pills were working. She said, "I don't know, Dad. I haven't gotten a single headache since you left." That's an event. That's a point in time. That's something that comes and then quickly goes. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. The circumstance Paul's referring to here is much greater than that. He was a 60-something single adult alone in a nasty prison among hostile people, and he was going to be there for quite some long time. So we're talking about a long-term difficult circumstance from which there is no escape. Now, this is important for us to understand because this is exactly how so many of us are suffering today. We're not going through a momentary event. We're in a long-term circumstance from which there's no escape. If you have a prescription medicine bottle at home, the label names the remedy, which is usually difficult to pronounce. Then it says, "to be taken X number of times a day for an extended period of time," and then it names the problem. Well, Paul is about to give us this remedy to be taken X number of times a day for a long, difficult circumstance. This is his suggested cure. Now there's something else about difficult circumstances that I want to point out. Difficulties are not an indication that God is unhappy with us. It doesn't mean he's punishing us. How do we know that? Well, God was not upset with Paul. God was not upset with Paul as he's penning these words. He's not punishing Paul. That's not what this event is about. Neither is that the event in our own lives. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that when a person is cultivating a close relationship with Jesus, God uses difficult circumstances to bring about great good in our lives. I don't know how he does that. There are a lot of things God does that I don't understand. I just know that he does it. I just know that he does it. He did it for Paul. He'll do it for us. Next thing, a word about contentment. Here in verse 11, Paul says, "I have learned to be content," there's the word, "in whatever circumstance I am." Then in the next verse, verse 12, he says, "In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content." Now, let's hear a couple of things at this point. First, let's remember we're listening to the testimony of a man who is in a genuinely difficult situation. He's not some pampered monk issuing pious words of wisdom from an isolated monastery with Gregorian chants echoing in the background, which is generally the way they portray the Apostle Paul. He was hurting. Paul was hurting. And the second thing we need to hear is that Paul was what? He was content. He was content. In the very midst of this intolerable circumstance, somehow Paul was able to experience contentment. Just what exactly does Paul mean by that? Well, first of all, he doesn't mean he was giddy in some superficial or inappropriate sense. And I think that's very often what we imagine when we read this, and that's not the case at all. When Illinois Representative Lynn Martin was campaigning for re-election, his rally organizers got school children excused from school for the parade. And of course, the kids were very excited about this. They took them out and stood them alongside the route and gave them American flags and told them when the procession came by, they were to jump up and down and wave their flags and shout. They did. The procession came by, they jumped up and down, they waved their flags, they shouted in a very giddy fashion. The only problem was the first procession to come by the kids was not the representative, it was a funeral procession. Inappropriate. Inappropriate response. Inappropriate joy. Giddiness. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. What he is talking about is something very real, very satisfying, something that completely quiets the soul. He's talking about being able to experience an unexplained, bone-deep, peaceful security and calm right in the middle of life's most difficult circumstances. Real contentment. Genuine contentment. Robert J. Morgan writes this. Amazon, by the way, they're in the news a lot lately. Amazon keeps track of your highlights. When ebook owners mark sentences, the online retailer, talking about Amazon, knows and makes note of it. Recently, in fact, this was just last year, 2017, Amazon released a list of the most popular passages in some of its best-selling books, such as The Hunger Games, the Harry Potter series, and Pride and Prejudice. Also released the most highlighted passage in the Bible. I expected, Morgan writes, America's favorite Bible passage to be John 3:16, or Psalm 23, or the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. But no, it was a less prominent text, but one with a striking deep chord in today's worried world. It was Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's the passage that was highlighted most often online. People everywhere are looking for contentment. People everywhere are looking for peace. Paul had found it, and he's trying to pass it on to us. In the midst of life's most difficult, ongoing, relentless circumstances and difficulties, Paul finds real peace, real contentment through Jesus. He's trying to pass this on to us. We need to listen up. Finally, let's consider a word about changing. In verses 11 and 12, Paul says being content in the middle of difficulties is something that has to be learned. I think that's significant. It's a process. He had to change, he says, the way he dealt with difficult circumstances by stopping some old habits and starting some new ones. And that's difficult because I think old habits are reflexes. They're reflexes. Jeanette Bruce was a staff writer for Sports Illustrated. She didn't feel safe on the streets of New York, so she enrolled in both judo and karate classes. Apparently, she was a good student. She earned black belts in both those disciplines. She was ready for any difficulty that might present itself on the streets. Finally, the opportunity presented itself. She was approached by a man trying to steal her purse. He grabbed her purse with all this karate training, with all this judo training. Do you know which of her moves she accessed? She started hitting the man with her umbrella. Trying to start a new habit, slid right back into the old. Once you know what to do, it doesn't help unless we do it. When we find ourselves in the middle of life's difficulties, we have to change the way we respond. Let's take a couple of lessons from Paul. First, stop being consumed by our circumstances. We can't let it swallow us up anymore. Paul had to stop allowing his unfortunate situation to destroy his peace of mind. We do too. Second, begin cultivating a closer walk with Jesus. Paul drew genuine contentment from his increased relationship with Jesus. Are you listening to that? In the midst of it, we cannot fall back on using our umbrella. We have to stop bathing in the difficulty of the circumstance and begin relying upon our increased walk with Jesus. Scripture talks about this using the word dryness of spirit and then finding new refreshment in the Lord. Psalm 63:1 says, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. That's not automatic. That's something we have to do. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a dry land, a land that's dry, desolate, and without water. Here's another one, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never run dry. Psalm 103, verse 5. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like an eagle. Man, that's a great picture. Psalm 17, verse 15. I will see your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your presence. That's contentment. That's contentment. Right in the midst of the difficulties. Not bathing in the difficulties. Not focused on the difficulties. That's the old habit. Instead, turning to Jesus in the midst of the dryness and focusing on Him and walking with Him. That's Paul's suggestion. For many years, Mary Leonard of Louisville, Kentucky, dealt with polymyositis, a rare inflammatory tissue disease that invades the muscles. There's no known cause, and neither is there any known cure. Mary's case turned deadly when the disease invaded her heart. She was told by doctors she had no more than 24 or 48 hours to live. But after 20 days in hospice center, another 51 days in rehab, Mary was finally sent home. She reflects on the changes that take place when you're told your time is short. She said, I call myself an average Christian. I don't know exactly why God has done this for me, but I do know that life looks different now. She's experienced some changes. She offers five lessons she's learned through her ordeal. Number one, know that prayer is powerful. Two, mend all fences now. Three, release the reins of life to God. Four, know that God is able, more than able. Five, put your focus on what really matters. And you know, she's not talking about her illness. when she says put your focus on things that really matter, she's not saying put your focus on the disease, on the illness, on the situation, on the crisis, on the circumstance. That's not what she's talking about. She's saying the things that really matter are Jesus and a walk with Jesus and a relationship with Jesus. Same thing Paul said. It's the same thing Paul said. If we want joy in life, we can't focus on the circumstance. We can't focus on the situation, as awful as it is, as terrible as it is, as painful as it is, as long-term as it is, as hopeless as it is. We can't focus on that. That's the old habit. We take our eyes off of the situation and put our eyes on the thing that really and truly matters, and that is our walk and our relationship with Jesus, and therein is the joy. There's the joy. We're not talking about something flippant or giddy. We're talking about a bone-deep, real, quieting, secure joy in life. I want it. I believe you do too. Pray with me.